Luke chapter 5. Title of the message, Fishers of Men. There's nothing more fun and more relaxing than sitting by a river or a lake fishing. There's nothing like unplugging for a couple of hours, disconnecting from whatever busyness, whatever stress, whatever is weighing on your heart and your mind, and just sitting on a riverbank or on the side of a lake. There's nothing more relaxing than throwing your line in that water and waiting. And there's nothing more exhilarating than when you see that pole bend and you know you've got a catch. There's nothing more exhilarating than pulling and toying and teasing that fish as you reel it in. And Jesus used the analogy of fishing in calling these men to himself, to his work, in calling these men to testify of all that he did, up to and including his resurrection. Today's text captures an important moment in the lives of regular men. Think about that. These weren't nobles, these weren't rulers, these weren't kings or governors. They didn't have high positions in the synagogue. These were regular men. But Jesus showed his authority, his power, just as he calls you to his invitation. The disciples dropped everything. Are you willing to drop everything? Simon and Andrew, they dropped their livelihood. This was how they earned their keep. We don't know whether Andrew had a wife, but we know that Simon had a wife. This was how he provided for his household. He dropped everything. James and John, they even left their father to follow Jesus. Are you willing to walk away, to leave your old ways and follow Jesus wholeheartedly? The reality is, you and me hear voices constantly calling us in different directions. I remember as a teenager, whenever we'd have a lock-in at church, There was this game. It was a game, but it was meant as a visible and hands-on teaching lesson. One of the teenagers would be taken out of the room, blindfolded, and while that teenager was out of the room, they would arrange the chairs in a maze. And all the other kids in the room were instructed to yell, to give wrong directions while the youth leader spoke in about this tone right here, giving all the right directions. So that when that teenager that was blindfolded was brought back in, he could hear all these voices. Turn, go straight, turn right, turn left, go straight, back up. But he could also hear, if he paid attention, go straight, turn, go straight, turn again. You and me have a lot of things taking place in our lives, vying for our attention. And with technology it gets harder and harder to hear the still small voice of God. As Reformed Baptists, you are called to follow Christ above all else. What's the scene here? A large crowd has met Jesus by the Sea of Galilee. And it was at this scene that with fishermen who had toiled all night, they were tired. This wasn't just throw a line out in the lake. These guys, they were casting nets and pulling those nets in and catching nothing. It was in this scene with a crowd by the lake, tired fishermen, that Jesus taught the crowd and called the men. Picture that scene, if you will. Jesus teaching the crowd and calling the men. He alone transforms lives. Eric talked in Sunday school about sanctification. Sanctification, whatever else it is, it's transformation. God changing you from what you were to what He desires you to be. Jesus alone transforms you. Jesus alone transforms lives. So what does Jesus call you and me to? First thing He calls you and me to do is listen. The first thing Jesus calls you and me to do is to listen. Let's read Luke chapter 5, 1 through 11. Luke chapter 5, beginning in the first verse. As the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats beside the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to thrust it out a little from the land. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered him, "Master, we have worked all night and have caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the net." When he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was tearing. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. Jesus calls you and me in verses 1 through 3 to listen. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I hope that we're all coming as young Samuel did, when his mother Hannah brought him to the priest Eli. And in the course of time, as he grew in the temple, you called him one night. And he went running to Eli. You called him a second time, and he went running to Eli. Eli finally realized what was happening. And he instructed Samuel that if he heard the voice again, to simply respond, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Lord, as we gather today as your people, I pray that our hearts would be in tune with you, and that our spirits would have that same childlike faith as Samuel, and look to you, simply saying, "Speak, for your servant is listening." It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus calls you and me to listen. Jesus has authority. Eric read about that. Jesus has authority. The man with the unclean spirit said, "What have we to do with you?" Ha! Jesus just simply spoke a word, and the spirit threw the man down and departed from him. Jesus demonstrated authority by casting out demons. You and me know and believe in his sovereignty and his power. He saves you from sin and darkness, giving you protection and guidance. Do you know him as sovereign today? Do you know of his power today? I'm not asking if you know, if you've read of his power, but have you experienced his power in your life? It may not have been in the same ways as that man that Eric read about earlier that was filled with an unclean spirit. But have you experienced the power of God in your life? Is he leading you out of sin? Is he leading you out of darkness? Is he protecting you day by day, guiding your every step? Jesus was surrounded by a crowd eager to hear God's word. Isn't it interesting? When Jesus was in the synagogues, he got terrible responses. But when he's out with the crowds, they follow him. They hang on his every word. And here they go out to this lake. He sits in one of the boats and urges Simon to press out from the land so he can use the boat and the acoustics of the water so that his voice can carry, so that men can hear what he has to say. Him teaching from that boat signifies the importance of his message. And he still has an important message for you today. If you're not reading from this daily, then you're not listening. Listening involves you picking up the Bible for yourself. Reading maybe just a verse, maybe just a couple of words. Reading as much as you can in that moment. Saying, "Lord, speak, for your servant is listening." This text shows that the word of God must be shared and heard. We teach kids all the time, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine." Why do we teach kids that song? Because the Word of God must be shared. Are you actively listening to Jesus? Are you making space in your life to hear His voice amidst the noise? Every one of us has a lot of noise taking place in our lives. As I said before, with the advance of technology, the noise in your life and mine increases and increases and increases day by day. Are you making space, though, in your life to hear even in the midst of all that noise? Are you making it a priority to listen to God? Are you making it a priority to set aside quiet time each day for prayer and Bible reading? Are you creating a space where you can hear God's voice without distractions? What's distracting you in your personal devotional time? Secondly, not only do you and me need to listen, but we need to obey. It does us no good if we just take in, but we need to obey. Just imagine if I had a pot of coffee here and I just kept pouring it. What's eventually going to happen? The coffee's going to go to waste because it's going to spill out and it's going to stain this pulpit. It's going to stain the carpet. Just as we saw in verses 1 through 3 that you and me are called to listen, in verses 4 and 5, you and me are called to obey. That means doing something with the coffee that's been poured into the mug for you. Look there at verses 4 and 5. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered him, "Master, we've worked all night and have caught nothing. But at your word, I will let down the net." Jesus instructed Simon to cast his nets into deep water. Does anybody remember what Jesus' occupation was? What Jesus' stepfather's occupation was? What was it? Carpenter. So you've got this carpenter telling these fishermen how to do their job. Can you just grasp what's going through Simon Peter's mind? The temptation that's going through Simon Peter's mind. This carpenter has just told me, a fisherman, and by the way, I've worked all night long. I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to crash. You're a carpenter. You know about dovetails. You know about routers. And you're going to tell me, a fisherman, but you know what? I've worked all night. I haven't caught anything. I'm tempted to just go home and crash. But at your word, I'm going to do this. Simon expressed doubt, but he shows faith. Simon expressed doubt, but he showed faith. How many has ever doubted? We have one that's honest. Doubt is not something that is in it, the unpardonable sin. Every one of us are going to experience doubt. Every one of us are going to have those times like Simon Peter. I've been working all night. Nothing has happened, but at your word, Simon shows faith in the midst of doubt. And that's what you and me need. We need faith in the midst of doubt. Faith is just simply acting on Jesus' word, even when circumstances seem contrary. Even when circumstances seem contrary, faith is acting on Jesus' word. Obedience despite doubts can lead to miraculous outcomes. Think about the abortion bill down in Louisville. Think about how many years different Christians went, prayed, preached in the streets, begged women, begged families to not slaughter their babies. And now that building sits vacant. Now that building is scheduled to be demolished. Following Christ requires sacrifice and commitment, but the rewards outweigh the cost. You must be willing to give up everything. Following Christ requires sacrifice, it requires commitment, but the reward outweighs the cost. What's the reward? Knowing Jesus. Knowing Christ and Him crucified. And seeing your friends and your family come to know Christ and Him crucified. Jesus would call you and me to practice obedience. How do we practice obedience? We practice obedience by giving ourselves to the means of grace. What are the means of grace? Prayer. Pray even when you don't feel like it. Reading God's word for yourself, even when you don't feel like it. Attending worship. As the writer of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Giving yourself to the sacraments. Knowing that Jesus is present with you spiritually, though real, in those sacraments. Not only does Jesus call you and me to listen, not only does He call you and me to obey, He calls us in verses 6 through 9 to witness. Listen, obey, witness. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was tearing. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. Listen, obey, and witness. What are we listening to? We're listening to God's word. What are we obeying? We're obeying His commands. Nowhere in the New Testament do we see Jesus saying, okay, the moral law, we're just throwing that out the window. No, what does it say? Jesus went to the synagogue as was His custom. Jesus, the very Son of God, gave Himself to worship. Jesus, the very Son of God, never sat in front of a painter to have His image put on canvas. The miraculous catch of fish serves as a powerful sign. These men, in their own strength, had worked all night, caught nothing. And now, at simply Jesus' word, go out into the deep, throw down your nets. Simply obeying Jesus' word. They've worked all night, caught nothing. They now obey Jesus' word, and there's so many that both boats can't even contain them. They're starting to sink. The nets breaking and boats sinking symbolize the overwhelming nature of God's blessings. When you experience God's provision, it calls you to witness to His goodness. Has God done something good in your life? Has God provided for you in your life? Do you have a story to tell to the nations? Do you have a story to tell to your community? Do you have a story to tell to your neighbor? Do you have a story to tell to your family? Yes, God has been good to you. How do you respond when God's at work? You and me are called to respond by spreading the gospel. The good news of Jesus, crucified, dead, buried, risen again. Jesus called the fishermen to be fishers of men. Do you see how Jesus just kind of did a play on words? You are now fishermen, but I'm calling you not to throw down nets anymore and bring in these sea creatures. I'm calling you to throw out the net of the gospel and bring in all those that the Father has given me. As Reformed Baptists, you are called to share the good news of salvation with others and make disciples of all nations. Does that mean that every one of us have to go to every nation in the world? No. But that means that you and me need to be prayerfully supporting missionaries around the globe. Meaning you need to be prayerfully praying and supporting those who are in West Africa and East Africa, those who are in the Oriental countries, those who are in Europe. We need to be praying for those in South America and Australia, who are doing the work of the gospel, calling men, women, and children to confession, repentance, and faith. Are you obedient to His calling? Do you look for opportunity to share testimonies about how God has worked in your life? Not only do you and me need to support missions around the world, around the globe, but you and me need to be active in our own lives, active with those that we encounter face to face each and every day. Look for opportunities to share what Jesus has done for you. Not only are you and me called to listen, not only are you and me called to obey, not only are you and me called to witness, but you and me are called to repent. As Christians, we are called to repent. Repentance, yeah, it happens at salvation. It happens the moment that you and me hear the gospel. It happens the moment that you and me come face to face with the reality that we're sinners. We confess. We say the same thing about our sin that God says about it. But as Eric brought out in Sunday school, sanctification is a process. Sanctification is experiential. And so we have a life ahead of us, that we repented in the past, receiving His justification, receiving His salvation, but now we are called to a life of experiencing, oh, I never realized that this thing I'm doing here is wrong. I need to confess of it. I need to repent of it. You and me will continue repenting until the day that we have our last breath. Simon's reaction to this miraculous catch was humility. I mean, Simon's a fisherman. He could have easily said, you know what? I've been fishing all these years. I've got the talent. I've got the skill. I know where to drop the nets. I know how to pull the nets in. I know how to ask for help when the nets are too full, but Simon has a very vivid lesson given to him. A night of fishing in his own strength. versus a simple command by Jesus. A night of fishing in his own strength gave him nothing but obedience to one simple command by Jesus gave him a catch that he could not bring in his own strength. He recognized that he was a sinner. He said, Jesus, get away from me. I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. I don't deserve to be in your presence. He recognized his unworthiness. Do you recognize your unworthiness? And more importantly, do you recognize the presence of holiness? Because that's what salvation is. Salvation is twofold. You both recognize your unworthiness, and you see the presence of holiness. In repentance, that's what you're seeing. Your unworthiness, your vileness, your sin, and the presence of Jesus' holiness. The one who knew no sin took your sin upon himself. The one who knew no sin died the death that you should have died. The one who knew no sin experienced the pain that you should have experienced. What was Jesus' response? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because once you confess, once you repent, it's as if that sin doesn't exist anymore. That's what, you know what justification is? Justification, an easy way to understand justification, God now looks at you just as if you had never sinned. The moment you confess your sin and repent of your sin, now God looks down at you and he looks at you just as if you never sinned. Well, not only do we need to listen, not only do we need to obey, not only do we need to witness and repent, but you and me need to follow. Look at verses 10 and 11. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will catch men." So when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Listen in verses 1 through 3. Obey in verses 4 and 5. Witness in verses 6 through 9. Repent in verses 8 through 10. And follow in verse 11. This final call is one of discipleship. This final call is one of discipleship. Discipleship isn't walking an aisle, praying a prayer, getting dunked, and you're done. Discipleship is walking with Jesus day by day, reading from his word day by day, spending time with him day by day, gathering with the saints. Jesus invites Simon and his partners to leave everything behind and follow him. Leave your family. Leave your livelihood. Follow me. This radical commitment is a call to prioritize your relationship with Christ above all else. Are you willing to leave your nets behind and pursue the mission he has for you? Call to follow Christ. Jesus called Peter, James, and John, fishermen, to follow him. Despite their doubts, despite their fears, they obeyed. What are you called to leave behind? Is God calling you today? What is he calling you to leave behind? Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you for this, your word. Lord, we thank you that these men, skilled as they were humble enough to receive instruction. They were humble enough to obey a simple command. Move out into the deep waters. Let down your nets and get ready for a catch. Lord, give us a humility today to hear your voice. Give us a humility today to be obedient to your words. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.